Today's Unmute Presents Community Call was hosted on 19 March, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Unmute. Couple announcements here at the top. First, wanted to remind everyone that we'll try and get through all first questions. And if we get through all the questions, we can have, if we have time, then we will take second. Also, please be respectful in the same way you'd like and let everyone get their questions out. And remember, there's no dumb questions. So anything tech-based is allowed. Also, I wanted to remind everyone that the JAWS class for Unmute is going to be starting in April. So we should have more information about that up on the website, probably I'd say by the end of the week, possibly beginning of next week for all of those details. So look out for that. That's going to be really great. Also, I wanted to let everybody know that the question of the day is, as you all know, CSUN is this week. It's happening right now, and there's tons of announcements going on from all the different companies that are there, which is like 130 vendors plus. And there's also companies that are making announcements outside of that as well, just because CSUN is going on. So I would love to hear what you guys would like to see. If you have any ideas or thoughts about something that you want to be fixed, upgraded, made better, any certain product, anything like that. So would love to hear that from you guys. And with me, as always, I have Michael. How are you, Michael? What's going on?
I am doing great, Marty. Thanks for that. We have the Technically Working episode that published with Demasi and I yesterday. I recorded it on Sunday, and then I don't remember exactly what we talked about. So I'll come back to that in a quick moment while I look that up real quick. On Sunday, though, we published the latest episode of Digital Bytes. And in that episode, we talked about gestures, reconfiguring those gestures on iOS, identifying music with your iOS device, and how the Habel One device physically looks and how you can use it. On Thursday, we published the Zoom Essentials line, which went over the difference in the Zoom digital voice recorders. So if you're interested in that, give Thursday's episode a listen. And then on Thursday, we published an episode, or on Monday, we published the Technically Working a year's worth of weeks. That was a very complicated title for me to type for some reason. So a year's worth of weeks was what we talked about on Technically Working. We hit the 52-week mark. So we did get one whole year of content publisher. Super fun. Thanks. One last thing before we jump into the question slash feedback on the question of the day. I had some follow-up from a listener, Larry, who reached out to me and told me, hey, I actually have a suggestion for people looking for printers. And he gave me an idea of something that I hadn't thought about. So he does recommend HP printers, specifically their color laser color line. You're going to pay a little bit more, but you want to go with the business version of those, because he told me, he said, if you have any problems, once your printer is set up, the business tech support team can remote into your printer and help you make configuration slash changes that you might need. So just wanted to follow up and give that information, because that could be a solution for someone. And I know we got a question about printers last week, and I got an emailed question about printers earlier this week. So hope that helps. And Sheila, who do we got first?
Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Good afternoon. I didn't expect to be first. So after last week, I downloaded and installed Seeing AI. I've been an avid Android user, so to kind of like finally have that come over, I was checking it out. And my question kind of pertains a little bit to that in parallel. So in Seeing AI, in order to do like facial recognition, it gives you feedback of like the faces to the upper right or the faces upper left. As a person who does podcasting and is planning on teaching online, I'm going to be on camera to people that are sighted. My question is there an app, a program, software that you can put on like a laptop that would be able to give you that same type of feedback with regards to your camera, or do you guys have suggestions? Because I'm sure you guys present in front of sighted people on camera. Do you guys have suggestions, if there is no such program or software, suggestions on how to best center yourself in the camera?
Go for it, Marty, and then I will give my answers, because the answer is yes, we'll have answers for you today.
Okay, so I have two suggestions. Unfortunately, I can't remember what it was. I have to go look it up. But they're on a Mac, on the Mac platform. There's a small utility that sits up on the right side, and all its job is to tell you if you're centered in the camera. So I'll have to find out the name of it. I'll try and find that, and then I'll get back to you on that. But another thing you can do also, if you're on the Mac, is you can use Continuity, and you can use your iPhone as your camera, and then VoiceOver will tell you if you're centered in the camera. And if it doesn't, VoiceOver will tell you move right, move left, move up, move down. When you get centered in the camera, then it will tell you that you're centered. So if you can put your phone on something that has, you know, a sturdy, so it doesn't move around once you get it where you want, like on a little tripod or something like that, that would be a way to go.
No, so, I'm an Android user and a Microsoft user.
Yep. And two things. So, because we want to be inclusive of everyone, so hopefully someone else has that question on the Mac. The utility Marty is thinking of is called Centered Head, and that's available on the Mac. On Windows, you have several solutions. So if you're a JAWS user, JAWS has this built-in called Face InView, and that came out in JAWS 2023. If you're using NVDA or Narrator, you can use a tool called Can You See Me, and it's at canyouseeme.app, A-P-P. That will give you feedback and let you know if you are centered in the camera as well. The nice thing about the JAWS feature is it will give you feedback based on your background, and it will also provide details about your lighting. The last thing that I'll suggest to you is you have 5 minutes free every 48 hours. Call iRev at least for the first time or two and say, hey, can you see me fine after using one of these tools? Because that'll give you an actual human's confirmation that you're able to. I guess one other thing, this summer, Be My Eyes is coming to Windows, so that could be a solution for you as well.
So with the face view with JAWS, is that something I have to activate in the settings?
So it is, I believe the keystroke is JAWS key space PF, but I'm not certain. So what I would do in that case is do JAWS key space J for JAWS. That'll put you in a search where you can search the commands and then type in face or face in view and hit enter. And that'll give you the keystrokes that you need to press in order to activate that. It is not a setting you have to enable, but you do use the keystrokes to activate the tool.
Okay. And I can do that once I'm like on my camera on the.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So, and then canyouseeme.app is just a tool that you open up. It was created by Microsoft Engineer. And once you go to that website, canyouseeme.app, and you download it, it's a really little tool that you can run pretty much anywhere. And then it just gives you that immediate feedback. If I recall right, you can get verbal confirmation, or they have tones that they can use if you'd prefer those. But those are utilities that I use when I go on to like YouTube Live and other places.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks.
Anne.
Hey, Anne, how you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good. I have a Windows question. When I go into drafts, I can't get back to the mailbox without practically starting over. I should be able to press Control Y, I, and then go back to the inbox, but it won't let me. There is a keystroke for that, and I have forgotten what it is.
So you're using Outlook?
Yes.
Okay. Stick with us, Anne. I don't know that keystroke, but I will find it for you real quick and share that with you, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Beth, you're muted.
While we're waiting for Beth.
Oh, okay. Just... Yeah, I was something is. I was wondering. Somebody said, you know, because I had said that I wanted to hear more of the old comedy shows, and they said something about Roku. Now, do I have to have a smart TV for that? Because when I tried to look for an app, it kept saying Roku remote.
You need, so, I mean, if you have a TV that doesn't have any smart of any kind in it, you could get a box. You know, they have, like, you can buy an Apple TV box or a Roku box or an Amazon box and access all of the apps that way. On the average, depending on which one you would decide, which is basically the ecosystem, you know, Amazon, Roku, Apple, any of those, they range from anywhere from like $50 up to $150, depending on, you know, what you get. So you wouldn't have to buy a new TV. You can buy a box and you can plug it in HDMI and then hook it up to your Wi-Fi. And there you go.
So I get those from, you can get them from
anywhere, Best Buy, Walmart, online, on Amazon. You can get them anywhere you want.
Okay. Thanks.
Roku's probably going to have, I would say Roku and Amazon will probably have the biggest variety and the most, different price selections, like from low, medium, and high, depending on what you're looking for. So,
right. And like with the shows, it will have probably all seasons of the different shows.
Well, you'd have to get whatever app that show is being, you know, shown on, and then go from there. So it doesn't just show up. You have to find out what app or what service that particular show you're looking for would be on. For example, You said you like comedy. So maybe Comedy Central or the name of the comedy or whatever the case is. You just have to find out what app it's on. And then once you know that, then whatever box you decide, you go and you get that app, put it on there and go from there.
And okay. I'm going to chime in here, Beth, with a suggestion for you, because getting a Roku and or a Roku TV is going to come with its own learning curve to be able to learn how to navigate that interface. If ultimately all you want to do is watch older comedy and you specifically know the comedy, the comedian or the name of the show that you're interested in watching, really just go to YouTube. Look it up on YouTube. Chances are you're going to find the content there, and then you don't have to purchase new hardware, which means you don't have to learn a new interface to navigate it and just get comfortable with using YouTube. And that might be better for you.
Yeah. Because some shows are on YouTube, or they advertise like watchnow.com, but WatchNow has like Hulu, and I don't have that anymore because that really is pricey.
Yeah. So there's plenty of options for you on YouTube, and that's where I would start, so that you don't have to go buy something new and you don't have to learn a whole new interface. Okay.
Yeah. Or if I want to, Be My Eyes could help me with that too, right?
Yes. Be My Eyes can help you with navigating YouTube. I do recommend using the specialized services, going down to blindness related, tapping on Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and calling them, because those are trained individuals to work with blind or sight impaired individuals, versus just going with a volunteer. Of course, you can always go with a volunteer, but when possible, I do highly, and they don't pay me, so full transparency, no one's paying me to say this, but I do recommend MavView whenever possible. So give that a try, Beth, and hopefully that works out for you. Real quick, before we go to the next hand, and the keystroke you're looking for is Control-Shift-I. That should take you back to your inbox. And if you continue to have problems with Outlook, I do highly recommend reaching out to Microsoft Disability Answer Desk. You can get to them by aka.ms/dad. That's aka.ms/dad. And they'll be able to help you figure out what may be preventing you from moving from your drafts back to your inbox using the Control Y keystroke. But again, Control Shift I is the keystroke to move you back to your inbox. Sheila.
Thank you.
Yep.
Jane.
Hey, Jane. Hey, we will see you tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Yes. See you, son.
Yes. So for Joe, I did find it is insert press play. Space bar F and O Well, open up your camera and it's great. You can have Jaws tell you the confidence level, the brightness, etc.
Awesome.
Yeah. My question is though, I tried somehow Saturday I was somewhere and I wanted to record using my Zoom H1E. I tried plugging it into the I have a 20,000 the AT guy is 20,000 accessible power bank. I tried plugging in into the USB port, not the USB-C, but the USB-A port. But the recorder kept turning off. I had no batteries in there because I didn't bring batteries. Is it a different ampage or do I have to?
So that's a very interesting question. I'm frantically looking. So I have a octopus cable here. By the way, very nice cables. AT Guys does sell those as well. Just saying. 3-in-1 cable. So what I'm doing is I'm plugging in, and really it can come down to the cable too. I'm going to plug this into the USB-C on my H1E. And then I have it's not the 20K, but it's the 10K power bank. And when I plug that into the USB-A of the power bank does, I just plugged it in right now. And after about 3 seconds, well, that's interesting. It's not vibrating. So yeah. That is interesting. I wonder gotten if that you can to only work charge with this.
Through the USB-C port. I wonder if that's a thing.
What? Well, what was that, sir?
What'd you say, Marty?
I said, I wonder if you can only use it for, you know, AC wall power or charging off a battery through the USB-C port only. Maybe it won't do it through USB-A.
That's what
because I was going to say, I have gotten this to work with a USB-C to C cable. So that is strange. I can experiment with that a little bit more for you, Jane. But if possible, try a C to C cable and see if that works and just plug it into the middle of the power bank.
Okay. Because I was going to use it to record, but every 5 to 10 seconds, the battery will stop and then the recorder will turn off. Oddly enough, I don't know why. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you on that. I would try a C to C cable and see if that works because I have gotten that to work. And see if that goes. Ultimately, it would be ideal to put AAA batteries in, but man, that H1E eats AAA batteries like kids eat ice cream. It's horrible. So thanks, Jane.
All right, Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hey there, guys. I have a voiceover question. I just joined a Facebook group, which has a ridiculously long name. Not only that, but part of the name is a picture. So VoiceOver describes the picture, then says the whole name of the group. And then because this is a Facebook thing, it'll say the name of the person posting. And then it says the name of the group again. Life is too short for me to have to go through all of that to read, to figure out whether I want to read this post. I had a thought, but I don't know if this would work. If I copy all of that and paste it in the pronunciation settings and then just say what I want it to say, is that only for words or can I, you think that would work? Can I do that?
I don't think it will take out the image description, but what you can do is copy the words for that. You can try it with the image description. So I got sick and tired of hearing unread before every email. Unread, unread, unread. And I know if my emails are not read because I'm the one who reads them.
Right,
so I changed that to just a space. So now VoiceOver does not read unread. It just reads space and then the message, which it obviously doesn't say the word space. So that's where I would start there, Judy, is to add at least the group name to the pronunciation and then maybe add a space there since you already know what group you're in, and then that won't read anything, and then it might just read the image, and then you can experiment with adding the text from the image description to see if that can go away too. But you're on the right path. That's where I would go.
Okay. That's what I thought, because I know, like with the JAWS dictionary manager, I could teach it to say anything, whether it's, you know, a group of text or not, but I wasn't sure. And before I started to play around with it, I just wanted to see if you thought that was a thing. So, all right, thanks. Appreciate that.
Now, one caveat, unless they have changed this, if it is important, you will need to set up those pronunciation rules on any iOS device. They do not synchronize. So if you use multiple, like an iPad and an iPhone, you would have to set those up on each device.
I'd have to do it again. Okay, gotcha. Yep. All right. Well, thanks for that. I appreciate that. Yep. All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Restoria.
Hey, Restoria.
Hi, Restoria.
Hello. I have a question about Windows. Is there any way I can enlarge or make the error message or something, you know, when they bring them up, larger or darker where I can read them?
So there is, there's several solutions that you can use. If you open the accessibility, is this on Windows 11?
Yes.
Okay. So what you can do is you can use a keystroke called Windows U. So you hold the Windows key down and you tap the letter U for universal access. And then in there, you can adjust the text size and the context, the contrast of it. If all you need is some rudimentary text size increasing, there are some third-party tools like Zoom Text that is going to cost, but it gives you a lot more flexibility of making the text look the way you need it to look on your screen. But where I would start for your Restoria is Windows key U for universal access, and then play around in there with some of the text magnifications and other options.
Okay, thank you.
No worries. Thanks for your question.
Jamaica.
Hey, Jamaica. Hi, Jamaica. Are you?
Hello. What I wanted to say to you is I wish that there was a way that Zoom could make an update where it would not give us the advertisements every 20 to 30 minutes on Zoom. And also I wanted to ask a quick question about the laser printers, whether it would be able to go with my, whether it would be able to be set up with the Braille printer that I have, which is an old laser that I have. And because I'm working by next week to work on getting my new computer, and I need to kind of know a little bit about that if you have any help with that.
So the laser printer is going to be separate from your Blazy embosser, so they're not necessarily going to work in tandem with each other. But what you can do is you with your new computer, you can have the Blazy plugged in and use a laser printer. So if you need to print something in print, you would print to the laser printer. And if you need to emboss something in Braille, you would send that to the Blazy. But you're not going to, without buying new hardware, can't say it can't be done because it can. It's a little more expensive than I would like. But without buying new hardware, you're not going to be able to emboss something and get print written on it at the same time if that's what you're looking to do. But yes, they can work in conjunction.
No. I'm just asking for it to be able to print off from the embosser.
Yes, so you can use a laser printer in combination with your embosser. So you would emboss something and then you would print it. They're not gonna, like, you're not gonna be able to do it all at once. And it sounds like you understand that. So
yeah,
hopefully Thank that you. Answers your question.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Petra.
Hey, Petra.
Hey guys, I have a question. I've wondered this for a long time and haven't known who to ask. I have that wonderful 3-in-1 cable also, Michael, as you probably know. It came yesterday. I've always wondered, though, is the brick that plugs into the AC power the most important part, or the cable? Is it, for example, I have a HIMS U26 or BrailleSense 6 Mini, and it came with its own, you know, brick to plug into the regular wall outlet, and then of course it came with its own cable. Can I use the 3-in-1 cable instead of the cable that came with the BrailleSense 6 Mini?
Is it a proprietary, or is it just like a USB-C plug on the brick?
It's a USB-C.
So you could use any USB-C cable.
Okay.
Yep.
You could use any cable. Like if it's USB-C, like Michael, if he has the USB-C on one end and then the multifunction on the other end, any USB-C cable, you should be able to plug in and be able to utilize it. The only thing you're going to run into is I would stick with that same brick for that device because you're not sure what the wattage would be on other bricks. And you don't want to really use one that's going to be too much power for your device unless it has a way in the brick to wind down to the only the wattage that the device needs.
Yeah.
That's actually what I was trying to ask is the brick the most important part or the cable?
The brick.
I guess it's the brick.
Yep, the brick, because that will, what I tell people is with the devices you purchase that come with USB cables, you can swap out the cables all day long, but you want to make sure that the wattage and other electric, I'm not an electric engineer, so electrical engineers don't harm the messenger, but you want to make sure that the wattage and ampage is what you originally got for that specific device. So you just use the same brick, swap out your cable if you want, and then plug in the BrailleSense into the end that it actually fits in, and you should be good to go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Of course. Thanks, Petra.
Nolan.
Hey, Nolan, how are you?
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
I'm running into a serious issue with Dropbox. And I am really not happy at all.
Okay.
I am trying to completely close I'm looking at potentially I'm having a little issue trying to deactivate my Dropbox free account, but every time I try to do it from their mobile app and their website, it keeps prompting me for the password, and it keeps doing that several times, and I've submitted a report asking them to fix that. And it's doing it on the Dropbox account that's tied to my Gmail account.
So it's asking you for a password? Is that what I understand?
Yes. Multiple times.
Okay, have you entered the password?
Yes, and it will not take.
Okay, so here's what could be going on, and I don't know if this is what's going on in your case, but there's also an option on Dropbox that says sign in with Google. Have you tried clicking that button and see if that gets rid of the password field for you?
I tried, and it will not go through at all, either way.
Okay, yeah. This sounds like something that you're going to have to work through with Dropbox, because those are the only two solutions I have, unless Marty has anything else.
I mean, really, the only thing that I would suggest if you are just tired of using it is just uninstall it from your computer. And if you ever need to access it again, you could just go through a web browser. But I don't think it would be too much of a big deal just to uninstall it, and then it's not on your computer at all. And you still would have access to it through a web browser. And I'm not even sure if you can deactivate a free account completely, but you can definitely check with them. There's probably a questions and answers on their website. Maybe look there, or you could write into support and ask them if there's directions on how to do that.
What is the support email address that I need to reach out to on Dropbox's website?
I have no idea. You'd have to just go onto their website and see if you could find it. I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
Okay.
Perfect. Thanks, Nolan.
Thank you.
Sheila, who do we got next?
Lori.
Hey, Lori. Hey, Lori.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
So I have two questions. The first one is, I have an SE 2020 iPhone, and in September it'll be 4 years old. I can't believe it's that old already. Anyway, my first question is, can I dictate emails that are not people that are not in my contact list? And the second question is, if I'm on a call with somebody and this occurs once in a while with a friend of mine, when we go to church online or whether we just talk socially, all of a sudden my iPhone tells me to use Wi-Fi calling. And with the same person, my calls have been dropping. And recently I found out that this has been happening on her end because she uses a different service provider for her cell phone than I do. And she reached out to Apple and they said it's her service provider. So, and mine doesn't do that as often, but the call dropping, I never experienced that before. So how do I resolve the issue with, with that?
Well, you have okay.
Paul is not here. He's in rehab right now.
We have someone that person. You got that, Sheila?
I'm getting them.
Perfect. Go ahead, Marty.
No, this is his daughter. Yeah.
So the first thing is, let's address the Wi-Fi calling. So the thing about the Wi-Fi calling is, what it's supposed to do is connect, if you set this up at your house, it's supposed to connect to your Wi-Fi at home if the signal from your service provider is less in strength than the Wi-Fi at your house. So if your cellular service from your provider is weak at your house and you have Wi-Fi calling set up at home, it will automatically switch to your Wi-Fi so that you'll have a better connection and hopefully it won't have drop calls or anything like that. They implemented this for this specific reason. There was a lot of times when people had bad service at their house and their phones weren't working. And then people would call and complain and say, you have to fix this or give me some piece of hardware to make it work in my house or something like that. The way they resolved this was the Wi-Fi calling. So you set it up the first time at your house. And once you have it set up, it will automatically switch when it feels like your cellular signal from your provider is weaker than your Wi-Fi. So that's what that is. So you'll have to go through the first time and set it up. It'll ask you for your address and all that stuff the first time, because in order to use Wi-Fi calling, the law is that since you're using Wi-Fi calling and that's your main home, if you were to ever call 911, they need the physical address to show up so that if there's an emergency, they can get to you. So that's right. That. That's the whole Wi-Fi calling thing. Your friend might be dropping because maybe she's not set up for it, or maybe she did something wrong. So I would walk through the setup again for her, or she could call her service provider and they could walk her through it, or whatever the case may be. Now, the second thing, dictating, you can dictate anywhere on your phone that you want to, as long as you can type in that box. So if you do not have it turned on, you would go into the settings and you would turn it on. And once you do that, on the keyboard in the bottom right corner, there's going to be a little tiny icon that says dictate. And you can dictate a text message, an email. You can search for something in a web browser. Anywhere that you can type, you'll be able to dictate as long as you have it turned on. The only caveat to dictating is if you're on the phone with somebody, then you cannot dictate. And that's because the microphone is already being used for the phone call. Therefore, you cannot use the microphone to dictate. So that's the only caveat. Right.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that with phone calls during text messaging, too. So, but But the thing that I had a problem with when I dictated an email to somebody that's not in my contact list was it went to my drafts folder. But recently I went into my drafts folder and the original dictation email is not there. So I don't know what happened there, but that's weird.
Okay.
Well, dictating shouldn't have anything to do with anyone in your contacts. The only time that has any type of significance is if you're using Siri to make a call and you want to say, you know, call Michael, right? If mm-hmm. you don't have Michael in your contacts, it's not going to know who Michael is. You have to like associate the name and the phone number in your contact so that when you ask Siri to make a call,
Michael, I can't, Marty, I can't hear your answer. Someone's doing background talking.
That should be done by then, right? Yeah.
I don't, I genuinely don't know who it is, so I'm going to mute everybody.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Michael, because Marty, because of background talking.
Yeah, we're trying to get it resolved. Just give one quick sec here. Okay, I think it's okay now. You could try again.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nope, still there.
Oh.
Go ahead, Marty.
Okay, go ahead. If you can finish it. Did you need me
anyway,
to repeat
this,
something?
Anyway, this person is not in my contact list, and so I said to Siri, it was actually to ACB, and I said the number that I, you know, the email address I wanted to use, which was community@acb.org, and then in the subject line I put the subject, and then I dictated the subject. Then I said the message I wanted to say, and then I left the person my email address for them to respond, and then I wanted to send it, but it instead of getting it sent, it got dropped into my whatchamacallit, my not my outbox, but my drafts folder. Yeah. And recently I looked in my drafts folder and there's nothing there, so I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah. So a couple things. If you do have emails that you send regularly, like ACB Community or something like that, I would maybe put that in your contacts. And then as the name, you can call it ACB Community. Another thing that is going to be a little bit of an issue when it comes to emails and dictation is that when you're dictating, it's going to try and turn it into a grammatically correct sentence. So an email isn't grammatically correct, but you could say something like ACB period or dot, right? And then it's going to make a period like a sentence, and then it's going to make a space and then a capital, and it's going to do a bunch of weird stuff. The only way to get around that is to turn off like punctuation correction so that it doesn't automatically do that. That might help you a little bit, but still ultimately the best way is to put the email in your contacts and then name it, like for example, ACB Community with that email. And then you would just have to type ACB Community and click the email and it would be there. So that might be an easier way to go.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Good luck. Hopefully that'll help you out a little bit.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep.
Now, do we have somebody in Clubhouse?
Yep. We've got Tony / DJ, one of the two.
Hey, Tony / DJ.
More like Slash. No, I'm only kidding. It's DJ.
How are you?
Hope you guys doing well. And I'm doing good. Thank you. Got a question. One of my members was asked me during our meeting last night. She wants to be able to enjoy reading books on her phone. So I instantly thought about BART. But is number one, is there any other adaptations or whatever that one can read their book by, via their iPhone? If so, what are they? And number two, how in the world can one install BART?
Well, I'll answer the first part of the question quick. There is an app on your phone called Books, and even though it accesses the Apple Bookstore and all of that stuff, you still can pull in books from other places and use that as your reader. It's not only for the Apple Bookstore. I mean, it does. That's the only store it will access, but you can bring in other stuff into it.
Okay, cool. All right. I'll let her know that. Now, because I was at one time years ago, I wanted to download BART into my phone, and I was having a hard way to go in a short time to get there. And I noticed that they've changed, I guess, their format a little bit or the way of downloading it or accessing it. So how am I able to do that and be able to? So I can be able to get books from BART. I know you have to be connected to Talking Book Library. I get that, which I am. So what would be my next step?
So your next step would be, so you have your username and password. I'm a little confused what you're having problems with, because all you do is go to the App Store, type in, what I type in is NLS space BARD, because if you just type in BARD, it's going to bring up AI from Google. And once you've done that, you'll find BARD Mobile, and then you download that from there, and then you sign in with your username and password.
All right. So I see what I did. Okay, because I was just doing BARD.
NLS space BARD.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, and I did just test that, and that comes up as the second result. The first one is an advertisement for BARD.
Well, all right, Eminem, Plain and Peanut, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, DJ. Yeah. Have a good one.
All right. Yep.
Lynn.
Hello. You can hear me?
Uh-huh. Hello, we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay, just checking because I was... Okay, anyway, I hope everyone is doing well. I wanted to know... So I have the OpenCom... aftershocks headset with the boom mic, I guess what they call it, where you know, I have to bring it down. So I borrowed my friend's Open Run a couple weeks ago, and that one doesn't have the mic that comes down. It's an internal mic inside. The question I have is there any way, so my when I get phone calls, I guess not from my end, but from theirs, there's like a buzzing or humming. It sounds like I'm in a car even when I'm at home. Is there a way to get rid of that? Do you know?
How old are your open palms?
She like got them 6 months ago.
So you got your open comms about 6 months ago.
I got, so my open comms are I got them back in August, and the open runs that she got, the ones that I'm referring to, she got in August. My open comms do not do this with the boom mic, but hers do.
Yeah, it almost sounds like there might be some water / something in the microphones on the open runs that she has. At that point, if she hasn't tried cleaning them, number one, I would do my best to clean them. And Shox has some cleaning instructions on their website for getting them clean. Okay. If for some reason that does not help, the next step I would do is I would unpair them and forget them from your device and reset them. And then reconnect them and see if that fixes it. If it does not, then you need to reach out to Shox because they would still be covered under warranty and see if they can replace or repair them at that point.
Okay. I just wondered, I mainly wondered if that's true of all of the open runs. Do they always have that noise?
Because no.
I don't think she got water in them because she's hardly used them.
Okay. The other thing to be aware of is maybe verify that it sounds like a buzz. I'm not sure if you've heard it, but some people do complain about the microphones on the open runs because they aren't the best microphones. So just be aware of that they don't have the best microphones. They can be done, but you are going to get a lot lower of quality on phone calls and stuff with those headphones.
Okay.
Well, the open comms with the microphone is one of the best when it comes to microphones. And my batteries just died.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your help.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
Teresa.
Hey, Teresa.
Okay, I have two questions. Okay, the first one is kind of simple. I asked this before we got started about if you could do Clubhouse on an iPod Touch. I have iOS 15 for the software on there. I got it back in November. I think it's the seventh generation.
The best thing that you can do is go to the App Store and just see if it's available, download it, and see if it works. It's very kind of iffy because I'm not sure how much they update their app and to what specifications are their minimum requirements. So it's just something that you should try. Go to the App Store, download it, and see if you can get on. You know, if you can't, then it won't work. But if you can, then that's great. Yeah. You know, so
because I used to have another, well, I still have another iPod Touch that's much older. I won't even say how much older. It used to be Facebook, but it doesn't even do that now. Well
they're not
sort of does it, but not really.
They're not even selling the iPod Touches anymore. For a long time, they haven't sold them, and they don't update to the newest operating system. So you're just going to have to do a trial and error and see if you can get it to work. So
I know somebody in the ACV community. I won't identify them, you know, for the sake of their privacy, but they say they're using like a 2022 SE, iPhone SE, without the SIM card, I assume.
Yeah, you can do that. You just only will have access through Wi-Fi, not cellular data. So you can just use it as an iPod Touch, but that would be a much newer product than what you have. And it does work on the current operating system, but you would just have to go buy it outright. So I think they're like $500 or $600 for the base iPhone SE 22, which comes with 64 gigs of RAM, I believe.
Oh, wow. Now this kind of leads me to my second question. And this morning I went to donate blood, and is with anything anymore, you about have to scan things with your phone, and my phone is a flip phone, and I don't, you know, I don't have an iPhone, and I was wondering, should the next time I go to donate blood, should I have maybe this iPod Touch, or at least I could take a picture and read what is there, you know?
Yeah, read I would definitely. It would be a good tool for that. It's small enough that you can carry it in your pocket or purse or your backpack or something.
Right.
And you can pull it out and you could use it to scan a document. The only thing is you got to make sure you have the software already on there. You may not have any internet because it would only be Wi-Fi. So if you leave your house, it's not going to have any data unless the place you're going has Wi-Fi and they allow you to get on their Wi-Fi, for example.
Right. But if I took the picture beforehand, took the iPod home where there is Wi-Fi, I could at least read the document and be familiar with everything.
You could try that, but sometimes taking a picture of something is different than actually scanning something. So when it tries to scan something, what it usually does is it takes a picture of the document and it converts it to OCR to make it legible so that your screen reader will read it to you, or so that you can do something with the text. If you just snap a regular picture of it, it may not translate the same.
Okay, because like I hear on TV, they'll say, scan the QR code on your screen, you know, on
But you have to use a QR code. You have to use a QR scanner app on your phone, not just a regular take a photo of it.
Okay. Because, you know, they had to help me fill it out, you know, the old fashioned way by hand.
Yeah.
And they had that.
Well, also, you're going to need internet because the barcode scanner, I think, calls out to the internet. You'd have to double check on that. All of them are a little bit different, the different apps that are available. But you have to make sure that the app you have will work completely on your device and not need to call out, you know, to wherever it needs to go to get the information, bring it back again. Like Siri used to not give you any information at all. Probably it does that on your device unless it's connected to the Wi-Fi until the most current operating system. It used to have to send the information out and bring it back, and then it gives it to you. So you have to make sure the scanner app that you use or the barcode scanner app that you use doesn't need to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yep, no problem. Good luck.
Thanks to both of you.
Yep.
And Michael, I got your response to the other question I asked you offline the other day. I got your response back.
Good. Good. Hopefully it helped.
Okay. It did. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Of course. We've got about 10 minutes left. What do we got next, Sheila?
Yeah, you've got 10 minutes. That's what I was just going to tell you. Stacy.
Hey, Stacy.
You're muted, Stacy. All right, we'll go back to Stacy in a second. Diane?
Hey, Diane.
Yes. I'm wondering if any of you guys are familiar with the program called OBI or OBI. It is used to create DAISY books.
I am not familiar with it. I have heard of it, but I've never used it. Is there something specific you're looking to do with it?
Well, right now I'm just trying to download it. Yes, I do have a recording that I created in Audacity, and I, you know, labeled the different sections of it so that you know, it'll be easier for me to import the audio sections into the DAISY program. But right now I'm just trying to get it downloaded. I'm clicking on the links that is supposed to download the right file that I want, and nothing is happening. So I don't know if they're making you pay for it now. I don't see anything about paying for it, and it always used to be free.
Really? Yeah. But I didn't respond.
So to answer your question there, Diane, I think it might be worth trying to reach out to the group, seeing if there's a contact information for them. I'm trying to find, there was a tutorial on, because you're looking to make a DAISY book with this, correct?
Yes, and I've done it several times without any problems.
Uh-huh.
So this time I'm not even able to download the latest version.
Okay. I have your email. If I can figure it out, I might be able to just throw it in Dropbox and send it to you and see if that works. Because I'm not familiar with it. You got this from the DAISY Consortium. Is that where you're trying to get it from?
Yes, okay. That's where I got it from.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll see if I can figure this out and get a download for you. Because, yeah,
okay.
I'm not familiar with that.
All right, well, I'm going to need it like within the next probably 2 days.
Okay, so I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, all right.
And you're using it for Windows, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah, and I have Windows 11. It doesn't seem to have anything newer that I can see than Windows Vista. But I think I've used that before, and it has worked in the past. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'll see what I can send you because, yeah, I'm looking at the download right now. You're trying to download the 64-bit version. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, let me hit this button right now and see if it downloads for me. I have it now and we'll send you a Dropbox link.
All right.
All right.
Okay, I can't figure out why it's not working on my machine, but yeah, anyway, sure. I can get it.
I have a suspicion. So when you tap on downloads, here, actually, what I would do, I'll still send this over to you, but I think what's happening is Microsoft is jumping in and saying, hey, we don't recognize this file. This isn't a safe file. What I would try doing for you to see if this solves it is go try to download the file like you normally would.
Uh-huh.
After you hit the link to download it, press Control J. That'll take you to your downloads, and then see if it shows up in your downloads with your tab key. If it does, use Shift F10 on the file, and there should be an option to allow download. And I think that's where the problem is coming in, because I just downloaded it without any problems on the Mac for Windows. But as I said, I'll send this to you in a Dropbox link.
but I think you're going to run into that same issue. So try to go download it and then again hit Control J and see if the file shows up there. If it does, then do Shift F10 on it, and then it should give you an option to allow.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Diane.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Stacy, can you unmute?
Hi, Stacy. Quick side note, I should not paste.
Hello. I'm unmuted.
Yep,
we can hear you.
Okay. I'm getting so sick and tired of being interrupted on Zoom by phone calls. I'm wondering, what can I do? Isn't there any way to fix this? I'm on a Blind Shell Classic 2, and I asked about that for the class, and I can't figure out any way other to do it. Is there any way to disable phone calls?
No, I don't believe there is on the Blind Shell. I will take a look at my Blind Shell because no, there isn't, because there's not a do. Stacy, send us an email to feedback@unmute.show, and I will take a look at that and see if there's a way to do that. I don't think there is a do not disturb on the Blind Shell, but I would need to look into it. And okay. I do have one with me, but it's turned off. So send us an email if you can, and we can follow up with you about that and give you some directions if I have any. Right now, I'm going to say no, but there may be a workaround for that, okay?
I was wondering if you could do a workaround by disabling call waiting or doing something like that.
Call waiting on the Blind Shell because Zoom isn't treated like a standard call. And I'm turning my Blind Shell on right now, so I'll see if I can come up with an answer for you before the end of the call, Stacy. We have 4 minutes. If I don't come up with one, drop us an email to feedback@unmute.show, and I'd be glad to follow up with you.
Feedback@unmute.show?
Yes, ma'am.
Gosh, I remember that. Okay, I'll try. But,
perfect. Thanks a lot.
My sister will have to send it in because I don't even see links on my email device I got. Okay.
Thanks, Stacy. Well, I'll do some looking, and if I can get an answer in the next 2 minutes or so, I'll let you know. So stay tuned till the end.
I think it would be very hard. You can't do it through the manual. I know that.
No, you cannot. So who do we got next, Sheila?
Jane. Hey, Jane. You got like 2 minutes.
Quickly. Yes. For the person who was asking about Clubhouse compatibility on an iPod Touch, yes, it is compatible with iOS 15. The earliest you can go, I think, the latest you can go on an iPod Touch. Yes, it is. But I think that's the farthest they go.
Perfect. Thanks for verifying that, Jane, and appreciate that. Stacy, the option that I was thinking of on the Blind Shell is not available. So I will pass that on to Barry and Diane. I should see them today, and I'll pass that on to some feedback. So hopefully that the Blind Shell team can update that. There is not a do not disturb. It only disables the sound, which is what I was afraid of. So appreciate it. Marty, you want to wrap it up? Oh, let's take that one more hand and then we'll wrap it up.
Beth, hey, real quick.
We got about a minute left.
Yeah. I'm wondering... I had a problem with YouTube yesterday it was on my playlist on my computer. I have a playlist I created called Walking Video, and on my phone it always works, but on my computer I wanted to use it to do exercises, but I hit enter on that and nothing played, nothing showed up.
I don't have an immediate answer for you, Beth. Bring that question next week and we can see if we can come up with something for you, okay?
Sounds good.
Perfect. Marty, wrap it up.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much. We will be here same time, same place next week. Thank you to everyone. And if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that, you can email us at feedback@unmute.show. And you can also check out the website for all the things we have going on. And that is unmute.show. And everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next time.